To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for a special investigation into some of the most fascinating yet profoundly tragic of Marines to exist within the grim darkness of the 41st millennium. We all know of the Chaos Space Marines who cast aside their allegiances to the Emperor in favor of seeking gifts from the darker powers of the warp. But we must acknowledge that they are not the only Astartes who do not wish to serve the Imperium. Though every Marine is bound to serve by their psycho-indoctrinations and enforced devotion to mankind, there are times where this loyalty is tested. And if pushed to the extreme, then the Astartes may seek to abandon their duty and to carve out a new destiny entirely for themselves. I would, of course, be referring to the renegade Space Marines who have turned their backs upon the Imperium, yet still walk the thin line between loyalty and heresy so as to safeguard their souls from the corrupting embrace of chaos. Their existence poses uncomfortable questions as to the nature of one's loyalty to a decaying empire. And so it makes a great deal of sense as to why the Imperium looks down upon them with such fervent disdain. Thus, renegades are hunted down and eliminated without remorse. They are given no chance at redemption and graced with no forgiveness, for their mere presence threatens to bring the fading Imperium crashing down to its knees. The renegades occupy a rather unique position within the 41st millennium, where unlike the fallen traitor legions, the Marines will seek to maintain a fierce sense of independence from both Imperial authority and from chaotic temptation. They do not necessarily fight for, nor against, humanity, but for the right to determine their own fate in a galaxy which offers no sanctuary for those who stand alone. To cover the renegades, we will focus on three main parts. Firstly, we will learn more of who they actually are, before covering the reasons as to why one might choose to become a renegade, and then finally ending on the psychological toll that comes from abandoning your duty and rejecting the very purpose behind your creation. This topic will reveal fundamental contradictions in the heart of the Emperor's grand design for humanity, as we learn of how the strengths and unique traits of the Marines may exist as the catalyst to push them away from his fading light. But with this all said, I do believe we should now cut to the chase and begin. My dearest friends, no one could possibly anticipate as to where these turncoats will appear, and so we must set out blindly into the stars in the hopes that we will encounter a dreaded warband of the renegades. To begin with, we will need to learn of what a renegade space marine actually is. In brief, these are the members of the Adeptus Astartes who have turned their backs upon the decrepit husk of the Imperium to exert their own wills upon the galaxy whilst still remaining steadfast against the foul temptations of chaos. From their long service, they will have come to the conclusion that the Imperium does not serve in the best interests of neither humanity nor of the Marines, prompting them to sever their ancient bonds of loyalty and to reforge their destiny entirely free from the shackles of the High Lords. They will serve as independent chapters, branded as heretics by the Inquisition. But despite this death sentence, they will still set out into the stars, ready to carve out their own existence without the oppressive oversight of Terra. It is not unheard of for entire chapters to cast aside their allegiances, or for individual Marines to turn against their brothers and to seek refuge in a renegade warband. Though in both cases, it will be a great dishonor, leaving a dark stain upon that chapter's history. To be clear, The Imperium does not permit such actions, and so renegade chapters are to be seen as enemies to all mankind, who should be exterminated, with absolutely no room for mercy. Their existence, however, represents an incredibly profound paradox within the Emperor's grand design, in that they are genetically enhanced super soldiers created only to safeguard mankind in a state of eternal loyalty, and yet they were granted with the capacity to reject and rebel against their intended purpose. In truth, we could consider the genius of their creation as being the explanation behind their own downfall. All Marines were once mere humans, but through the gifts of the gene seed, they were elevated to such a degree that we could consider them as having surpassed mankind in almost every way. They are incomparably stronger and faster than a baseline human, with extended lifespans, internal life support systems, and most importantly, an enhanced capacity for independent judgment. This was originally intended to aid them in analyzing a battlefield, and yet, by providing his angels with the ability to think for themselves, he inadvertently created beings who could question the very Imperium, who they were once sworn to defend. Thus, when a Marine bears witness to the cruelty and inefficiency of the bloated Imperial bureaucracy, they will inevitably feel some sense of internal conflict. On the one hand, they have been indoctrinated towards unwavering loyalty, and yet they themselves can see the corruption which plagues the Imperium, and for some Marines, this will be enough to push them over the edge and to compel them to rebel against those who falsely wear the Emperor's crown. To be clear, however, renegades should be seen as outliers from the norm, mostly acting out as an extreme response to a long-term and often preventable schism between the chapter and of the Imperium. It is important to note here that the renegade Space Marines must be distinguished from their fully corrupted counterparts who serve within the traitorous ranks of the Chaos Legions. While Chaos Marines have surrendered themselves to the metaphysical corruption of the warp, embracing demonic patronage and the twisted gifts that come with such allegiance, renegades maintain a fierce independence from both Imperial authority and chaotic temptation. The Magos biologist known as Hermeticus Vor, before his execution for heretical inquiry, catalogued this distinction with clinical precision.
The chaos-tainted Astartes represents a complete metaphysical transformation. His very soul has been corrupted to such an extent that he could never attain salvation. The renegade, by contrast, preserves his original ontological purpose, but has simply rejected his intended social application.
With that said, no two renegade chapters are alike, and so it can be difficult to make broad or sweeping statements as to their new motivations, forged in the flames of rebellion. In practical terms, however, some renegade Marines will retain the recognizable tactical doctrines of the Astartes, whilst also maintaining their past organizational structure, and some will even hold onto their old chapter iconography and cultural practices. Of course, when a chapter does turn against the Imperium, it is not unheard of for them to shed their old colors or names as a symbolic representation of the Marines reclaiming their lives and forging something entirely new for themselves. We must remember that just because a Marine has turned as a renegade, that it does not necessarily mean that they have strode down the dark path of chaos. Therefore, we should question the Imperium's branding of them as irredeemable traitors, as they may very well have rebelled simply to fight against the stain of imperial corruption, perhaps painting them out to be more loyal than of those who dare not question their duty. The motivations behind severing one's bonds with the Imperium are as diverse as the chapters themselves, though we do find certain patterns emerging when we study the historical examples of such events. For example, some chapters will develop radical interpretations of the Emperor's vision for humanity, leading them to see the Imperium itself as having betrayed his true intentions, prompting them to break away, no longer willing to serve those who care not for their master's goal. In other scenarios, a chapter could fall victim to the political machinery of Terra, where their brothers might be abandoned to die on a distant war zone, used as scapegoats to conceal their own malpractice, or simply hounded by the scrutinous yet unrelenting agents of the Inquisition. This treatment would naturally lead a Marine to question as to whether or not they are truly appreciated by the Imperium, and of whether or not they would be better off by setting out on their own to be free from such needless torment. It is not unheard of for some brothers to become renegades as a means of preserving their own moral sanctity. The Imperium is well known for committing countless atrocities throughout the cosmos, and these can sometimes violate the codes of honor held by many a chapter. Thus, a Marine might conclude that their continued service represents a sense of complicity with these unforgivable crimes, prompting them to quickly leave, revolted at what they have seen. The most notable example of this would be of the Space Wolves, who were almost branded as renegades by the Inquisition for standing against their extermination of the survivors upon Armageddon. But we shall touch on this subject later in our sermon. Most renegade warbands will be hunted down by the Imperium, who will seek to utterly exterminate them so as to dissuade other chapters from following in their path of freedom. Because the rogue Marines very rarely have any allies to turn to, they will often be forced to live quite a short and nomadic life. They are known to establish temporary strongholds in abandoned sectors, within lost colonies, or out in the uncharted regions of space where no stable imperial domains can be found. Others, however, will remain within their meager fleets, which will contain not just their own warriors, but also their serfs, relics, and of any precious sources of gene seed they were able to retain. Resource acquisition will become a perpetual challenge for the renegades. Without the support of Forge Worlds, recruitment planets, or of the wider Imperium, they will be forced to secure their necessities through direct and often bloody action. Some resort to piracy, preying upon Imperial shipping lanes with precision strikes that maximize resource capture while minimizing casualties. Others will forge uneasy alliances with human worlds beyond Imperial control, offering Astartes protection in exchange for supplies and recruits. In practice, this is not so dissimilar to how an entirely loyalist Marine chapter would act. Some of you would scoff at the notion of loyalist Marines resorting to piracy, but we must recall the lessons we learnt when we looked at the infamous chapter of the Death Spectres. Ruling from the lawless region of the Ghoul Stars, these Marines, though entirely loyal to the Imperium, are known to only provide aid to Imperial worlds if they are paid an extortionate tithe for their actions, which, if viewed under a certain lens, could lead an Inquisitor to view them not as loyalists, but as renegades. In the eyes of the Imperium, there exists no distinction between renegade and traitor. Official Imperial doctrine, as promulgated by Inquisitorial decree, classifies all Space Marines who operate outside of the Adeptus administrative structure as excommunicate traitoris, subjecting them to an immediate execution without the possibility of redemption. The Imperium's perception of renegades reflects less their actual threat level and more to the existential challenge they present to Imperial authority. A space marine who rejects his oath while maintaining his sanity and combat effectiveness represents a dangerous ideological contagion, living proof that alternatives to absolute loyalty exist. Most troublingly, as we discussed, some renegades will retain elements of their original heraldry and iconography, presenting them as a disturbing subversion of symbols which are otherwise sacred to the Imperium. Thus, the Imperial lords would fear that an innocent citizen who looks upon these fallen angels could very well consider a life where they themselves may break free from the Imperium. And this is a concept simply too heinous to ever permit. As a result of this, if a chapter is suspected of straying from the Imperium, then they will be sentenced immediately, often without appropriate evidence to absolve them of their supposed crimes. This has led many Space Marine chapters to tread carefully when in the presence of an Inquisitor or senior Imperial Lord, as they would rather spare their brothers the shameful fate of being inappropriately branded as a renegade. The philosophical position of the renegade marine represents perhaps the most profound existential crisis possible within the Imperium's rigid ontology. These warriors must construct meaning in the void between two absolute systems: the totalitarian certainty of Imperial doctrine and the ecstatic surrender of chaotic devotion. Most develop complex personal codes that preserve elements of their original chapter ethos while incorporating new principles born of their exile. Some maintain that they represent the true inheritors of the Emperor's vision, unsullied by 10 millennia of theological distortion and political compromise. Others embrace a radical form of transhuman exceptionalism, positioning themselves as having evolved beyond the pathetic moral systems of the common wastrels of humanity. This philosophical independence represents both the renegade's greatest strength and their most profound vulnerability. Without the psychological security of absolute loyalty or the intoxicating surrender to chaos, each warrior must carry the full weight of his choices through potentially millennia of existence. The psychological toll proves itself to be truly immense, driving many to eventual madness from which they can only find salvation in the tainted embrace of chaos. Perhaps no aspect of the renegade experience cuts deeper than the severing of bonds between battle brothers. The psycho-indoctrination of the Space Marines will create bonds of fraternity that transcend conventional human relationships, and to turn renegade means to redefine these connections, to transform brothers into potential enemies. When chapters fracture during their fall from grace, with some brothers remaining loyal and some choosing outward rebellion, then the psychological trauma of such a schism can eclipse even that of the most chaotic battle. Former squadmates will become sworn enemies, each carrying the intimate knowledge of the other's tactics, weaknesses, and fears into their new antagonistic relationship. Unfortunately, this is where we find the most profound tragedy of the renegade Marines, in that they were warriors once crafted for brotherhood, and yet are now condemned to an existence of eternal isolation, only interspaced by the sporadic flames of fratricidal war. Even in a galaxy as vast as ours, cast beneath the shadow of the dying Imperium, we must acknowledge that the individual choices of just one Marine can eventually blossom into an all-out rebellion. The journey from loyal servant to declared renegade rarely follows a single, predictable trajectory. And instead, each chapter's fall from Imperial grace will carve its own unique path through the stars, leaving a distinctive scar upon both its warriors and of the Imperium they once served. The Emperor, in all his wisdom, created the first iteration of the Adeptus Astartes during the 30th millennium. However, he never anticipated the psychological impact that a greatly extended lifespan could have on his transhuman warriors. Many Marines are centuries old. Some have crossed the threshold of a millennia. But even in death, they may still serve, forever to be entombed within the great sarcophagi of a dreadnought. Yet, with such long lives, the Space Marines are privileged to a unique perspective, where they may witness and experience the slow corruption of ideals and concepts across a time scale beyond human comprehension. A Marine who has stood for 500 years will have seen the rise and fall of Imperial factions who believed that through their radical interpretation of the Emperor's will that they could save humanity from itself. They will have seen nascent alien species clinging to life in simple tribes, rising to attain technological ascendancy until they could stand as galactic contenders, aiming their weapons directly at the Imperium's heart. High Lords will come and go. Imperial campaigns will be launched and concluded, and worlds once prosperous will be put to the torch under the guise of protection. Yet, as all these events transpire, the Marines will endure, watching and silently considering their own place within this galaxy, where it seems as though the Imperium fights only to preserve its own state of stagnancy. For chapters stationed in the Galactic Rim, or within hostile wilderness zones, where they are forced to eternally stand vigil against the dark, their temporal perspective will begin to weigh ever heavier when combined with their dangerous isolation. Positioned so far from the lights of civilization, they will only receive sparse missives from Terra, mostly sent to confirm their loyalties or to demand that a new crusade be launched. In their wayward post, cultural diversions and novel ideas can silently accumulate like rust, creeping up to consume a great idol. What might begin as a tactical adaptation will evolve into philosophical separation, until one day the Marines awake to discover that they no longer recognize the Imperium they were once sworn to defend. The Marines might then realize that the methods they used to combat the enemies of mankind would also be applicable to the Lords of the Imperium, and that perhaps the best way to safeguard humanity would be to turn their guns upon Terra itself. But this is heresy, I hear you say. Yet such ideas are not uncommon for chapters which have been abandoned to the lonely wilderness of the void. Further, they are made ever worse by the Imperium's own demands, carelessly cast onto the Astartes, who are already having doubts as to where their true allegiances reside. A chapter might be ordered to stretch itself thin across 100 war zones, responding to so many conflicts at once that it would almost certainly result in a net loss for the Marines. Their recruitment worlds might be repurposed by the Imperial administration, costing them the new aspirants who they desperately need to replenish their ranks. If these requests are not immediately accepted, then the chapter may be forced to endure a visit from an inquisitor who will ruthlessly scrutinize the wayward brothers, further pushing them into believing that the Imperium only sees them as expendable and worthless fodder. Thus, when combined, events such as these can culminate in a chapter deciding that they would be better off if they were free from Imperial rule, and given that they have not fallen to chaos, they will be left only with the path of the renegade. For other chapters, their cause for independence might not be from mistreatment, but from abandonment. The Imperium's vastness necessitates a strategy on a galactic scale, where worlds will be destroyed, armies sacrificed, and entire sectors written off as being entirely expendable. When chapters find themselves on the wrong side of such cold equations, then the seeds of resentment will be sure to take root. For example, let us recall the Space Marine chapter, named as the Amaranthine Hawks, where their homeworld was found in the southern reaches of Segmentum Tempestus, just on the border of the so-called Veiled Region. This area is truly enormous, consisting of clouds of dense nebulae, intermixed by the blazing light of newborn stars belching out immense waves of radiation, ionizing most cosmic debris into drifting fields of death. Yet life still persists. Though unmapped, the region is home to many alien species, and so the Imperium placed a chapter of the Marines along its border to monitor their presence and safeguard the distant colonies of mankind. For thousands of years, they stood fast against any alien encroachments, but as the thankless years continued to trudge on, the Imperium turned its attention away from the distant border, recalling all official mapping expeditions to refocus its efforts on campaigns closer to the galactic core. The Hawks, then, found themselves receiving fewer and fewer supplies from the Imperium, and their instructions were no longer regular, with Terra only dispatching simple commands to be received once per decade. For this chapter, the silence was received not as a sign of the Imperium's trust in their vigil, but as a sign of contempt. If Terra could not even bother to respond to their vox calls, nor provide them with a substantial source of supplies, then perhaps the Marines were more akin to slaves than of vaunted warriors. Thus they abandoned their posts, reconciling with their condemnation as renegades, as they set out on a self-directed crusade to hunt down the true enemies of man and to find purpose out in the abyss. Rather tragically, because of their desertion, a minor tendril of Hive Fleet Leviathan was left unopposed as it slithered through from the Veiled Region, leading to the consumption of a dozen worlds once protected by the Forlorn Hawks. Alternatively to this scenario, we should acknowledge that dramatic ruptures can appear between the Marines and the Imperium if they are ordered to commit acts which violate their foundational codes of honor. Space Marines operate within complex ethical frameworks, as each chapter maintains distinct traditions, taboos, and sacred tenets that define their identity as warriors. For example, some chapters will have no qualms about enforcing a blockade upon a hive world accused of paying an insubstantial tithe, knowing full well that their actions will bring about the deaths of the innocent through mass starvation. Other chapters, however, would deny such orders, as they will see themselves as the protectors to humanity and not as the lapdogs who enforce the careless Terran bureaucracy. When Imperial authority demands a violation of these core principles, it can create an unresolvable conflict between their loyalties to the Imperium and to themselves. The Space Wolves, for instance, were almost branded as renegades by the Inquisition after they took a stand against the extermination of all surviving loyalist forces upon Armageddon, who had fought with them against the demon Primarch Angren. Their defiance was not born out of disloyalty, but from their sworn duty to protect humanity and from the innate disgust they felt at the concept of turning against their former allies, simply due to the assumption that none could witness chaos and remain pure. Individual leaders and charismatic groups will often catalyze a chapter's transition from loyal servants to condemned renegades. Space Marine command structures centralize enormous authority in their chapter masters, who are warriors that combine their tactical brilliance with centuries of combat experience and unquestioned moral authority. Thus, when such leaders become disillusioned in the overarching direction of the Imperium, then their influence can reshape entire chapters. Some Marines will also turn as renegades, not out of their hatred for the Imperium, but so as to uphold their unwavering loyalty to their fellow brothers. The fraternal bonds of the Astartes run incredibly deep, and so if two chapters have fought side by side for several millennia, then the breakaway of one chapter could be enough to pull the other along with them, where they would stand shoulder to shoulder against the Imperium, for better or for worse. We do need to admit at this point that some of the reasons which might compel a chapter to turn as renegades are in fact quite similar to the reasons which would push a Marine to entirely abandon humanity and to walk down the dark path of chaos. But with that said, the renegades most often begin their journey free from the influences of the warp, and so their motivations are almost always driven by an opposition to the Imperium rather than of their surrender to the ruinous powers. It can take a tremendous toll on the renegades to abstain from the gifts of the warp, as in truth, the dark gods will be more than willing to grace them with the accursed means to better attain their goals, though it would surely come at the cost of their very souls. Also, as they wage war against the Imperium, the rogues will sometimes be aided by the unseen powers of chaos, further pushing them towards damnation, even if they never intended for that to be their fate. But in the end, it is from their precarious position which best highlights their tragedy. The renegades are Marines who have disavowed the blind obedience of the Imperium and refused the dark temptations of chaos, leaving them instead to walk the most difficult path of all, the one of independence in a galaxy which offers no sanctuary to those who stand alone. The first wound inflicted upon the newly minted renegade comes not from bolter fire, but from a simple administrative act. The striking of their chapter's name from imperial registries, the reclassification of their gene lineage as potentially compromised, the renunciation of untold years of accumulated honor with the stroke of an administratum scribe's pen. This bureaucratic death sentence carries psychological weight beyond mere clerical consequence. Space Marines exist as living embodiments of imperial mythology, angels of death crafted in the Emperor's vision, guardians whose very identities are constructed around service to mankind's great endeavor. When that central pillar crumbles, the entire architecture of their self-conception threatens collapse. None can say what goes through a renegade's mind once it truly sinks in that he has abandoned the sole purpose behind his existence, and none can be sure that he will ever fill the void where duty once lived. This existential vertigo manifests differently between individuals. Some warriors retreat into rigid adherence to their chapter's pre-renegade traditions, clinging to ritual and heraldry as anchors amidst their identity collapse. Others will embrace a radical reinvention of themselves, discarding their former insignias, colors, and battle honors in a conscious rejection of their old imperial order. Others still take their rebellion to an extreme and veer directly into the ways of a heretic, delving into the dark powers of the warp simply as a means of embracing the one thing that the Imperium always forbade. Typically, the Marines who sparked the rebellion will be free from such pitiful doubts. Yet it does not change the fact that some renegades will oscillate between the aforementioned extremes, being trapped in a perpetual identity crisis destined to span the centuries of their bitter exile. For the Imperium, renegade chapters represent an existential threat far beyond their military capability. The corruption of a Marine who falls to chaos can be almost justified by the impossible powers of the warp. But the existence of renegades who have independently turned their backs upon the Imperium presents an ideological contagion which cannot be permitted to spread. Once the Imperium has received word that a chapter has gone rogue, then the Lords will be spurred by an uncharacteristic sense of alacrity to enact a response, which usually follows a grimly predictable pattern. First comes the excommunication, which formally severs all routes for logistical support, cuts off the Marines from shared intelligence, and disavows the chapter from administrative recognition. This isolation strategy aims to starve the chapter of essential resources, leaving them without ammunition, separating them from their recruitment worlds, and forcing them into a corner where they will eventually be forced to fight. Following this comes the active suppression, where specialized inquisitorial task forces are deployed to catalog the renegades' movements, identify their supply chains, and prepare for their ultimate destruction. The final phase will encompass the eradication of the renegades, typically involving the assembly of such an overwhelming force that it almost serves more as imperial propaganda than of anything else. The Imperium will deploy loyal chapters against their fallen brothers with deliberate psychological calculation, often selecting chapters with historical rivalries or doctrinal antipathies towards the targeted renegades. This practice serves two purposes. Firstly, in that it strengthens the remaining chapters' loyalty through their complicity in the purging. And secondly, it also exploits the tactical familiarity those brothers hold with the renegades' methods. The tragedy behind the renegades deepens when one considers that few chapters will transition to independence as an entirely united force. The complex web of loyalties binding battle brothers together will invariably tear when stressed by such a large-scale ideological rupture. Some Marines will remain steadfast to their imperial oaths, often sparking a bloody battle with their brothers who have chosen to embrace rebellion. With that said, it is not unheard of for a Marine to simply opt out from civil war. Though it would indeed be painful, a brother may silently abandon his chapter before setting out on his lonesome, to swear himself to the long vigil of the Death Watch, seeing a life of fighting with the most disgusting of aliens as being preferable to raising his bolter against his former brothers. Perhaps the most haunting aspect of this division lies in its longevity. Astartes' lifespans ensure that these wounds remain fresh across centuries. Brothers who once shared combat meditation and blood oaths will find themselves locked in an intimate rivalry, which could very well continue for a millennium, with each carrying the weight of their shattered brotherhood as their eternal burden. But maybe instead, the most profound spiritual wound carried by renegades stems from their violation of their foundational oaths. During the transformation from human recruit to transhuman warrior, each Space Marine swears their binding commitments to the chapter, to the Emperor, and to humanity itself. These are not mere ceremonial utterances, but psycho-spiritually reinforced commitments deeply woven into their reconstructed identities. This physiological dimension of oath-breaking manifests itself as a series of documented physical symptoms among many renegades. Apothecaries will report increased rates of implant rejection, psychosomatic pain syndromes centered around augmetic systems, and the disruption of catalepsian node function, resulting in nightmare-plagued sleep cycles. Their genetically enhanced bodies, crafted in the image of perfection, seem to register a distinct sense of protest against the violation of their designed purpose. Beyond these physical manifestations lies deeper spiritual trauma. Space Marines are created to serve as humanity's defenders, and this purpose represents not merely their function, but their existential meaning. When circumstance forces them to fire upon the very citizens they were designed to protect, then the cognitive dissonance will create wounds far deeper than of any physical trauma. The psychological defense mechanisms employed against this dissonance will often prove to be just as destructive as the original injury. Some renegades develop elaborate philosophical justifications, positioning their rebellion as humanity's true salvation, whereby they will aim to overthrow the High Lords and reinstate the Emperor's true vision for mankind. Others will retreat into emotional detachment, viewing their human casualties as being regrettable necessities in service to some abstract principles. The most damaged, however, are known to surrender to nihilistic fatalism, and from this dark void of meaning will the motes of chaos find purchase and bloom forth until there is nothing left but a servant to the ruinous powers. At this point, I would be remiss to not mention the fact that though I have outlined the renegades as being a rather tragic group, that many of their kind are actually far more comfortable with a life of malevolence than we would otherwise like to believe. Some of the turncoats will hate the Imperium to such a degree that they will readily turn their weapons upon their former brothers, seeing in their deaths the liberation they desperately desire. Similarly, some will have no qualms about putting entire hive cities to the torch, as there can be no innocence within the Imperium, only complicit bystanders who are yet to contribute their lives towards the great war machine of mankind. It can be quite jarring for a loyalist Marine to encounter a renegade warband, especially if the two chapters were once rather close. There will always be a sense of hesitancy before the first salvos are launched, as even though they might have clear orders to exterminate the turncoats, the mere sight of their former brothers may be enough to compel them to engage in a dialogue, even if it is for the final time. Perhaps they wish to extend an olive branch and aid the fallen in redeeming their name, but in truth, both sides know that there can be no forgiveness in the eyes of the Imperium, and that the only outcomes here will be of their mutual destruction or abandonment of duty. The loyalists may very well feel their sense of brotherhood as being so strong that they permit the renegades to escape, though this will cause its own sting of shame amidst the chapter for failing to act on the Imperium's sacred orders. But the Marines have a solemn duty to uphold, and so, more often than not, they will raise their bolters, and brother will fall upon brother in a grisly war to restore the pitiful status quo that likely pushed the renegades down their path of condemnation. As a rather dark note, if the High Lords are seeking a swift and brutal solution to the quandary of a renegade warband, then they may call upon their own ruthless chapter of the Marines, who have been designated as the Minotaurs. First formed during the accursed 21st founding, they now serve as the personal lapdogs to the Terran nobility, serving only the commands of the Lords to enforce order, while leaving no room for compromise. The Minotaurs are quite unusual in that their combat doctrines are devoted almost entirely towards the methods and tactics needed to hunt and kill fellow Marines. But this is no mere coincidence. They are most often deployed by the High Lords to hunt down renegade chapters, rendering their sentence of death with a swift and bloody efficiency. The final tragedy of the renegades does not pertain to the deaths of their brothers, but to the systematic erasure of their legacy. The Imperium's response to rebellion extends far beyond a simple physical eradication, and instead breaches into the field of historical obliteration. Scribes and servitors will oversee the methodical destruction of all records which document the chapter's achievements, the redaction of their victories from battle chronicles, and the physical defacement of any monuments commemorating their sacrifices. This condemnation of memory represents perhaps the cruelest punishment to be inflicted upon the chapters who value their legacy above all else. Certain chapters will fight not merely for the present victory, but for the eternal remembrance of their brothers, with each Marine hoping to one day prove their deeds as being worthy enough to be carved into the annals of their chapter's history. But this self-reverential practice is one which the Inquisition knows all too well and will be prepared to exploit as a means to attack the very essence of the renegades. Every single deed, every record, every statue, and every last trace of their chapter's existence will be expunged from all official databanks, leaving but a sea of redacted text and defaced statuary. This, then, is the second death of the chapter, and it represents a fall far more absolute than of their physical termination. None will ever know of the deeds of their chapter once this act of censorship is passed, and there can be no abstract statements on the freedom to be forgotten to console the bitter survivors. This is truly a devastating price to be paid for the chapters which have accumulated a distinct sense of honor within the Imperium, built up over several millennia worth of costly battles. Further, the pain of their historical redaction is made ever worse by the fact that not even the dead will be spared from the relentless sweeping of administrative censorship. Heroes of the past, who never had a role to play with the chapter's fall, will similarly have their records wiped clean. But we must remember that once a chapter has abandoned the Imperium, that the Lords will owe them no grace nor dignity, and only retribution. The renegade chapters of the Space Marines occupy a truly unique position within the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, in that they tread the thin line between loyalty and heresy, often by making an enemy of both sides, but this is simply the means they use to attain their freedom. The ruinous powers of chaos seek to enslave all mortals through immaterial corruption, whereas the Imperium oppresses all beneath the iron shroud of devotion, and in the face of these two factions, many Marines will simply choose to turn their backs and carve out their own destiny. Their existence poses an inherent danger to the precarious position of the High Lords, who will seek to exterminate any possible traces of desertion, while leaving no room for redemption. The tragedy of the renegades reveals the fundamental contradictions at the heart of the Emperor's grand design. These genetically enhanced warriors, created with augmented intellects and extended lifespans, were paradoxically expected to maintain unquestioning loyalty across 10,000 years of imperial decline. The wonder is not that some chapters renounce their oaths, but that so many continue to bear witness to corruption, hypocrisy, and betrayal while maintaining their sworn allegiance. When we look at some of the more famous of renegade chapters, like with the Soul Drinkers, Knights of Blood, or Astral Claws, we are graced with brief glimpses of the Imperium's fractured soul. Their rebellions emerged not from moral weakness, but from the impossible tensions between their designed purpose and of the reality they experience. Every Marine will one day be forced to endure the dissonance of understanding what the Imperium should be, yet of seeing what it truly is. And for some, this clash can be simply irreconcilable. The Renegades represent not a failure of the Space Marines, but are merely a symptom of the greater degradation and corruption of the Imperium that they were once sworn to defend. The price they pay for freeing themselves from their perceived mistreatment is a truly arduous burden of isolation, fratricidal conflict, and of historical erasure. Yet, we must feel no sympathy, for the Renegades are still Space Marines, and they hold no fears as to the path they choose to walk. Some will be ruthlessly exterminated, others will fade into obscurity as their numbers dwindle. But rather sadly, most will end up seeking salvation from the dark powers of chaos. When your only options are death by the hands of the Imperial dogs or eternal life within the demonic embrace of the gods, it is understandable that many would choose the latter, even if it means shedding your last traces of honor to live for but one more day. But until they make that decision, the Renegades will carve out solitary paths, cast adrift between the totalitarian certainty of Imperial doctrine and the ecstatic surrender of chaotic devotion, maintaining their humanity precisely through their rejection of both extremes. Perhaps the most poignant aspect of the Renegades is the revelation which often occurs when these traitors make their final stands. The Knights of Blood, once branded as heretics, sacrificed themselves during the siege of Baal to save their brothers, giving their lives to safeguard the Imperium, who so readily rejected them. The Soul Drinkers, too, shared a similar fate, their final members dying to thwart the very chaotic powers they were accused of serving. In these final acts of sacrifice, the lies of their betrayal stand exposed, for Marines who had fallen to the sway of the ruinous powers would have never offered their lives in the defense of humanity. What then does this tell us of evil? We cannot call these Renegades as being truly evil, and yet they have been pushed into a position where the only option seems to be to fight, even if it results in the deaths of the innocent. Perhaps we should not judge the Marines who question in their loyalty to the Imperium, and rather we should question those who remain complicit and serve without a shred of introspection. As a final point, we should ask ourselves as to whether or not it is truly wrong to break one's oaths of loyalty if that which they were once loyal to has been all but abandoned and forsaken by those who care for nothing more than of their own power. Perhaps in the 41st millennium, where the Imperium slowly crumbles, that true heresy lies not in acknowledging that the light of humanity fades, nor in that the flames of compassion are dying, but in that you can remember what both once illuminated. There can be no certain answer as to whether or not it is better to serve in silence or desert from one's post. But for the Renegade Marines, they have made their decision, and now they must walk alone, enemies to all, yet entirely loyal to themselves. But with this, my dearest friends, we have now come to our end. Thank you all for listening to this sermon on the Renegades in its entirety, but know that as I close this chapter once more, that I will wish each and every one of you with a very warm goodbye.